morning to each one of you. It's really good to be here with you this morning, here together in God's house. I've been really blessed so far by the worship, the songs, Sunday school, devotional, all of it, sharing of verses. Maybe while I'm on that, I really appreciated your participation, children, in memory work and sharing that. That's very, really good. You'll never regret the effort you put into that. I appreciated, Brother Leo, your opening thoughts on hearing instruction. And I don't come before you as an instructor this morning. I come before you as just a student endeavoring to learn, just like all of you, I trust. And but I'm thankful that God has the instruction for us. We have His Word that has all the instructions that we need. And He as a Father is faithful, has been faithful in giving us instruction. It's up to us to listen and to apply that, is it not? I really enjoyed the songs and there's a lot of messages that in those songs that we sang. The one, I think it's the same one that Brother Caleb, you brought out in your devotional. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And the phrase that caught my eye was, bow down before Him, His glory proclaim. And I trust that's why we're all here this morning. We want to bow down. Humility, acknowledging our weakness, that we need God and His greatness. We want to lift Him up. Trust that's why we're here. I don't want to spend all the time here in just my comments, but as far as our adult lesson, the story of the defeat there at AI, isn't it just something how, we see how we are when we look at the children of Israel. It's supposed to be that way, right? But I was just thinking about, they send a company out to that town, This is supposed to be an easy job, right? It's just a little town of AI. Don't make everybody go. I think they were losing perspective. They were forgetting that they needed God. Probably referring, thinking back to this looked like such a little enterprise compared to what they just came through with Jericho. And that was impossible. And they won it with God's help. But they needed God for this too. And isn't that just how, is it just me? Is that how we tend to be? We get through, we're approaching this great big insurmountable thing, right, in our lives or whatever it might be, that we dread and we pray about it and we're not sure how we're going to make it. And once we're on the other side of it, however God works that out, somehow some of these other things, do we forget? We tend to just, that's easy stuff, we can do this. And we forget God. No, we need God in those little things as well. However little or big we perceive them to be. All right, with that, for a message this morning, I would like to consider one of the Beatitudes, and that is in Matthew 5. It is verse 7, and I was going to introduce it with one of your verses. I appreciated it a lot. How was that? Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy, and I'm not sure if have the words right. But the Beatitude I want to look at is, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The merciful. Does that describe you as a person this morning? Are you a merciful person? What does being merciful mean? What is mercy? It's the dictionary definition, if you will. It says this: kind and gentle treatment of a wrongdoer an opponent, or some unfortunate person. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Maybe for a practical, just simple, everyday illustration, let's say I come down into Wellsboro, one of your main routes, if I forget the routes around here, but say I come cruising right into town through the, 45 mile per hour limit, just disregarded, just blew right through. An officer, I'm sure you have them around here too, an officer pulls me over and says, "Well, I clocked you going 60 here in this 45, but I see you're from out of town, I'll give you a warning today. Just make sure it doesn't happen again." That would be mercy, would it not? It would be that officer showing me mercy. He has the right, he has the authority to give me a ticket. I was in the wrong. That would be showing mercy. I was trying to think of a personal illustration of a time that I received mercy from someone. And somehow it seemed like I was coming up a little short most times. Most times it seemed like I got judgment. Most times it seemed like I thought back to a time when I did actually get stopped. I don't think that was too many times in my life, fortunately to say. But I got stopped as a young man. I got a speeding ticket. One speeding ticket I think I got in my life. I got a ticket and I had to pay the fine. And so I got judgment instead of mercy. But there's many times I received mercy. Every day is God showing us mercy, isn't it? We get a new day. We are given life and we get up and face the day. God's merciful in giving us life once again. But I did think of a time, maybe it was once or twice in my younger years, some mishaps I had on the road. One time, I remember a pickup, it was the boss's truck. I was driving and it was snowy roads, and it was my negligence. I don't know how you would say it, but I flew in the ditch and the truck got pretty beat up. Another time, I had another fender bender. It's a different truck, and that one got pretty banged up. And both times, I think my boss would have been right to come to me and say, "Hey, the truck got kind of beat up. Do you want to pay half or help take care of this?" And both times, I didn't have that. He paid to fix that truck. It wasn't just real cheap in at least one of the times. And I've received mercy, is how I would see it. You can probably all think of times like that. Hopefully you can think of times in your mind that you received mercy. Maybe you think of times you're on the other side of this, probably many of us can, where you have a choice. How am I going to respond to this person? You have that choice of whether you're going to be kind, whether you're going to be merciful to them, or otherwise. And I was thinking of examples in the Bible. There are many, I believe. One I thought of is King David. To remember the time of his life when it was before he was king. King Saul was chasing him, trying to kill David, make his life miserable for him. And there was one time there, I believe it's in 1 Samuel, that it tells the story of David was in the cave there, and Saul ended up being in that same cave. And David had the chance to kill him, but he didn't. He showed him mercy. There's another time, I believe it was, when David and one of his top men went sneaking into Saul's camp. Saul was sleeping. And is it Abishai? I think it was. He said, "David, look, here's the time when God God talked about delivering your enemy into your hands. And we can just end this right now, all this running away and stuff. But David said no. And once again, he showed mercy. And if you go on in David's life, I thought about, you know, when David was a king, you would have thought after some of these, what would you say, the experiences with Saul that he had, that he wouldn't want anything to do with Saul. But he went looking for, was it for Jonathan's sake, he went looking for any descendants of Saul that he could show kindness to. And we have the story of Mephibosheth, that he gave Mephibosheth royal treatment, a place at his table, and gave him the land that used to be his father's, and so on. He showed mercy to him. But you know, we can think as well of times when David did not show mercy, and we have like the story of Uriah and so forth, where David was just pretty heartless and cruel, actually. Well, there's many examples we have of those that showed mercy. Blessed are the merciful. This morning, why be merciful? Is this a requirement for us as Christians? Or is it an optional thing? Is it just a suggestion? Do we always have to be merciful? Is there ever a time we can skip it? Ever a time we don't need to be merciful? There's some questions that came to my mind. First of all, why be merciful? I have four reasons here, and I'd just like to turn here, read a couple verses in Luke 6. You can turn there if you care to, Luke 6. Luke 6, verse 27. Let's read a couple of these verses here. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Why be merciful? It is a command. That last verse we read, be ye therefore merciful. That's a command Jesus gives. And you know, really, that is reason enough, is it not? Jesus said so. But I believe there's more. And we find right here in, let's see, is it verse 35? It says that God is merciful. God's a merciful God. You know, God is also a just God. He's merciful. He's also just. But Jesus says here in verse 35, he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He sends good things, and he's kind to those people that are evil, that do not acknowledge him, do not acknowledge his goodness, and maybe actually work against him. I think, is it Matthew that says he sends rain on the just, on the unjust as well as the just? And of course, maybe it goes without saying, perhaps, but as Christians, we're trying to be little Christ. We're trying to be like Jesus Christ, right? We want to be like our Heavenly Father in whatever way we can. And there's many verses we have that tell us that God is a merciful God. He's a God of mercy. Look at the Psalms alone and just pick out all the verses that talk about mercy. Well, it's just loaded with those verses. Psalm 36:5, thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. And we have chapter 136, I believe it is. It says, for his mercy endureth forever. And it says it again and again. God's a merciful God, and we're called to be like that. We're called to have the quality of mercy as well. Thirdly, why be merciful? Because we are debtors. We have received mercy ourselves. I talked about that a little already. God has shown mercy to us. God has shown mercy to me personally. You know, I have received salvation and forgiveness of sins. It wasn't because I deserved it. I deserve to pay the price. I deserve judgment. Pay the price for my sin. But God in mercy forgave me and saved me. Ephesians 2, it says there, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, raised us up, and made us sit in heavenly places, and so on. I am debtor this morning because of the mercy shown to me. And you know, it's only now, it's only the becoming thing that I am merciful to others. And we have the story there in Matthew 18. I believe it's familiar to us. That servant that owed his master a huge sum of money. It was a huge dollar amount. He could never pay it back. And his master knew it, and he knew it. What could he do? He pleaded for mercy. And you know, his master forgave that whole thing. And he left there, released of that debt. And we have that story, how it goes on. He went out and met another fellow servant that owed him personally a little tiny amount. He could easily pay it back, probably. Probably very soon could have paid it back. But he couldn't forgive him. He held it against him. And you know, and anyone could see that. You know, it was just totally unfair. But that's just how it looks to God. I think Jesus is saying, when we withhold mercy from our fellow men, because we have been shown so much mercy, I am debtor because of the mercy God has shown to me. Fourthly, why show mercy? I have because we are going to need mercy in the future. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay, see, everyone likes to have mercy shown to them. At least I do. In my failures and mistakes and so on, we all like to receive mercy. And maybe we tend, let's say people in general, human nature is to be tough and harsh with others, right? Not very forgiving, not very merciful. But when it's myself, I want mercy. I want people to forgive me, be not so tough with me. And you know, so to obtain mercy in those times, I should be merciful now. Because sooner or later in life, most likely the tables will be turned and I will be the one that's at the mercy of someone else. And we want mercy. We like when people are merciful to us. Interesting verse in Proverbs 11, verse 17, it says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. And we can probably think of stories on each side of that. Someone that was merciful and it came around to be a blessing to him later, or the other way around. Someone that was unmerciful and it came around to hurt himself later on. And you know, most certainly, if we don't think we need mercy from others, which we do, we will certainly need mercy from God in the future. You know, there's a day coming when you and I, everyone, will stand before God, the judge of all the earth, and we'll answer. We need an answer to him for my life. And this morning, you know, it's only because going to be of God's mercy that any of us can stand approved of God before that judgment seat. And we will be judged by the mercy or lack of it that we have shown to others. James 2:13, it says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." You know, if we have shown people no mercy, it says we will receive none when we are judged of God. That's a sobering thought. And that's a place that none of us is going to want to be at. Terrible, terrible thing beyond description to not receive mercy of God. So we need God's mercy every day. And to obtain that mercy, we need to be merciful now. All right. We will all need God's mercy in the future. I raise that question, are we ever exempt from Christians from being merciful? I think for sure the answer is no. We're to be merciful without exception. However, that does not say that, you know, we never give warning, rebuke, even correction, you know, at times in our families and in our brotherhoods. You know, Jesus gave he gave some very serious rebukes to the scribes and the Pharisees, those religious people of his day. But I believe it was still done because of his love, his mercy for them. He knew where they were at and what it was going to take to reach their hearts. And you know, to not address that, to confront their wrongdoing, that would have been unmerciful, wouldn't it have? And I believe it's the same for us. You know, it's because of mercy that we need to give our children some correction at times. Because not doing so would be unmerciful. It would be not for their good. So being merciful is not simply doing nothing because correction is hurtful. But it's because of mercy. I might need to nudge my brother sometimes and say, "Hey, what about this in your life?" You know, mercy doesn't simply ignore that, avoid that, because it's a hard thing. But rather does it because it would be unmerciful to avoid that. It would not be for his good, and so on. Being merciful is not simply going down the path of least resistance. Micah 6, verse 8 says this, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." God is looking for those who love mercy. Is that you? Is that me? Do you love mercy? You know, is it possible for you and for I to be part of an Anabaptist church like we are and not have a love for mercy like Christ would have us to? I couldn't help but notice Jesus' rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23. Maybe I'll just turn there. Matthew 23, verse 23. Says this, Jesus talking to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Jesus said, putting in my own words, "You're so careful about some of these little details, like making sure you pay tithe on these, down to the spices, these these little, you know, food ingredients. They would be so particular about, you know, some of these things that really didn't matter, really weren't of consequence at all. But he said, you're leaving go some of the important things of judgment, mercy, and faith. He said that, he specifically says that mercy was one of the weightier matters they were neglecting. As you look at that, he says earlier in the chapter, I'm not sure which verse it is. Oh, it's verse 14. He talks about them. He says, you devour widows' houses. Now, I don't know what all that means or what all was happening, but I do see here that there was a lack of mercy. They were taking advantage of people, those who could not take care of themselves, could not defend themselves. They were taking advantage of them. You know, they had that whole religious system, the whole show of religion, and being really particular about some of the details of that. But they were totally missing it, you know, when it came to some of the basic, what do you want to say, tenets of godliness, like showing mercy to the poor and so on. And so it's a challenge to me. I raise it as a challenge. You know, I wonder sometimes if we as Anabaptist people, you know, we can get pretty wrapped up in some little details of church life and so on. Can we get so distracted by some of those little things that actually when you look at it are pretty insignificant, don't really matter? Can we get so distracted that we miss some important things like mercy, like these people did? It's something for us to think about. A quote from Abraham Lincoln, he said, I have always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice. It's good for us to remember. I believe there's a lot of wisdom in that. And you know, Abe Lincoln was known for that. He was known for being merciful, giving mercy many times. You read some of those accounts of history. He would pardon soldiers and so on that, you know, they were to be punished. They were to receive judgment for deserting or falling asleep at their post and so on. And he would give pardons to some of these people. In fact, to the point of becoming disliked by some of his army generals, because he would show mercy when they thought he should be tough and so on. There's another quote that I have from him. It was when someone chided him for being kind to his enemies instead of destroying them. You say, you're not supposed to be nice to people, to these people that are fighting. You should destroy them. And his reply was this. He said, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? And so Abe Lincoln, he was known for being merciful. And I think you and I, we should be known that way as well. And you know, maybe it's more fascinating to me as far as Mr. Lincoln, because the world system is not one of mercy. You know, the officer of the law, he's there to uphold the law. He's there to give you a ticket or arrest you or whatever if you broke the law. The court system, it's not there to give mercy if you broke the law. They sentence you. You pay. You need to pay for what you did, for your crimes. And people, in general, people don't understand forgiveness. No, you go after the person that wronged you. You get revenge. Get back with that person that took advantage of you. You don't show mercy. You put yourself up and put others down. This morning, God's way is mercy. It's a couple, two verses I want to read and pull some thoughts out just in closing here. Romans 12, verse 8 is one of them. Okay, we're kind of breaking into the train of thought here. It says, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and this is the part we want, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I like that. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We're not showing mercy because, well, Jesus said I have to, so I need to be merciful. But no, not out of a grudging heart, but we're happy. We're cheerful to show mercy. Okay? Another verse is Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Bowels of mercies. It's in the list of things that are part of the new man that we're to put on, okay? That's maybe not an expression we would use today, or the way we would say. Maybe today we would say, have a heart of mercy, okay? That's what you put on as a Christian. We're to have a heart that's just overflowing with mercy to others. And you know, when I really bear in mind the mercy that I've received, that God has extended to me, and that keeps extending to me, gives me every day, that's what will be coming forth from my heart. I'll just be cheerful and willing, happy to show mercy to those around me. And I believe that I will love mercy, like that verse says there in Micah. Love mercy. Blessed and happy. Blessed or happy. I believe happy is another word for blessed there, as we have it in Matthew 5. Blessed and happy are the merciful. God bless you. Let's, God be with you as you try to put this into practice and show mercy in your everyday life. Let's pray.